Friends, I bring grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm just trying to think of a better way to introduce this sermon. And this illustration came to me. I'm like, we'll go with it. All right, so yeah, I know it's Mother's Day, but the illustration I'm opening with is about vomit. It's something with which all moms are familiar, whether they want to be or not. And there's my wife's favorite podcast. One of her favorite podcasts is called Laugh Lines with Kim and Penn Holderness. The husband's name is Penn. They were telling a story or reminiscing when one of their kids was a baby. They were flying on an airplane. And if you've ever flown on an airplane with your own child or someone else's child is with that other person on the plane, you know, like, flights with babies can be stressful for everyone, including the baby. The baby doesn't want to be on there. There's a comedian that does a bit on that. I won't steal it. But it's a good point. And so they're on this plane, stressful enough, right? And then if the atypical event for a baby, they spit up or their diaper explodes, right? That can kind of kick things up to the next level. But when a baby vomits, there's layers of clusters converging all at once, and the parents are feeling all the eyes and judgment of the plane on them as this is happening, and there's no bag that can contain all of the substance that's coming out from this tiny human. And the dad is he's trying to hold the bag in front of the kid, and the mom hears, and she's sitting in front, so she hears, she flips around, she's trying to give the dad advice about how to position the bag, right? Because that's what the dad needs in that moment. And the flight attendant's coming down the aisle seeing how she can help, and so this dad is just overwhelmed, not just by vomit, but by everything else. And he's just saying, I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can. Right? And so they're telling this story now years later, and they're laughing about it, right? Because that's what happens when we're in stressful situations. It's overwhelming in the moment, and then we look back and like, that was crazy. I'm so glad we got through it. But this chant that Penn has, that he's doing the best he can, I feel like maybe that can meet a lot of you today in just showing up today, and wherever your relationship is with Mother's Day. There are some of you that are moms and are so thankful for it. There are some of you that have moms and are so thankful for them. There are some of you who want to be moms and you're not quite there yet. There are some of you who want to be moms and can't be. There are some of you who might be moms and don't want to be. And then there are some folks, some of you who just have a negative experience with this holiday, but you came to church anyway. I want you to know, wherever you are on that spectrum of perspectives, even perspectives outside of that spectrum, this is the place where God meets you, right? And so this is a place that is for you, a place where Jesus meets you with love that fuels your hope. And just like moms and the Holderness family on that plane, I think we're all trying to do the best we can. I'd say that's fair. And we do that with the hope that will be enough, that doing the best we can will be enough, and that we'll be okay. And that as our kids grow up, doing the best we can, that they'll be okay, right? They'll turn out all right. But there are situations we get into in life that make us question, is that enough? Now, maybe it's not a plane where your kid is vomiting everywhere and you can't handle it, and no one can. Maybe there's something else you've been through or you're going through. Or maybe life is good for you now, but God's getting you ready to go through something. And you might be asking that question, what if everything that I thought was enough isn't actually enough? That's where we meet the disciples, in this upper room with Jesus in John 14. Right, this upper room where Jesus had just washed their feet in the previous chapter. Jesus, right, the guy, and they know the Old Testament, right? They know who God the Father is. They've read about him. They've studied him in schools growing up from stories from their parents and from synagogue. And they've been to the temple probably at least once in their lives. So they know God the Father, and they know the promises of Messiah. and they believe Jesus is that guy who's going to restore the kingdom of Israel. And they're following him. And he took the posture and the garb of a slave and washed their feet? That does not match up with everything that they read about or everything that they understood about what they read about. And so now Jesus, jarring them with that, now commands them in this new covenant with a new command to love one another the way he loves them, with power, with authority, with humility, with unconditional love. They didn't fully understand what Jesus was doing in that moment, but he loved and served them all the same. And so we're there in that upper room with disciples doing their best and still not getting there on their own. And after Jesus washes the disciples' feet, he brings that new commandment. And then he also prepares them for what's coming next, right? His crucifixion, death, and his resurrection. And what's coming after that. He's telling them for at least the third time, if not more, that he's going away. But that God is going to send someone else, the helper, that we know as the Holy Spirit. He even articulates that to them. The Holy Spirit is going to be the one that comes and helps them. And he won't leave them alone. The Father will send the helper. But first, he needs them to understand something they cannot fully grasp. And so our theme today of hope and receipts is, what if the things in which we placed our hope don't actually last? God gives us a hope built on his love, built on his power, and he does that for us in this text in three ways. He illustrates to us how love keeps, love knows, and love fills. Love keeps, love knows, and love fills. So the disciples are doing their best, can't get there on their own. It took the Holy Spirit, the helper that Jesus promised, to open their minds and form their hearts. The same Spirit does that work in you. And we pray that that's that Spirit that is doing that work in you this morning. So Jesus meets you here to give you hope that comes from love. So here's how this hope is given through a love that keeps, knows, and fills. Let's go to this first point, how love keeps. Let's go to verse 15. Read this along with me, if you will, all right? Verse 15, coming at you. There we go. Read this with me if you like. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. All right, that's a pretty short verse, pretty simple, right? Meaning, and this meaning keep, right? What does keep mean? It sounds pretty simple, right? Keep, this means we do it, right? And that's kind of one of the definitions of keep. You do the thing, you observe it. You're the one that's doing the command. It could also mean you guard it, right? You keep it safe. Another aspect of this word keep is to remember it, to not forget it, to hold on to, guard it in the sense of holding on to it, because there's going to be a lot of competition for your brain and your heart, and it's going to be real easy to forget to keep this command. Especially for these disciples with what's coming up, right? This is how Jesus is preparing them for what's about to go down. And it's not that Jesus' words weren't effective, right? Jesus' words are always effective. But his disciples did not grasp what they meant in that room or even later on that night. And yet that does not disqualify them as followers of Jesus. Our lack of understanding, our lack of ability to keep God's commands, even to keep this new command, to love one another the way Christ loves us, that doesn't disqualify us from following Jesus. It doesn't mean we can't do it perfectly. Jesus knows the room he's in. Jesus knows the room he's in with those disciples. He knows who's there. He knows exactly what's going to go down. Even though everybody else in that room says, "Never, Lord, we would never do that." Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen. He preps them for it. Jesus knows what's happening today. Jesus knows what's happening for you later today and in the days and weeks to come. And he's preparing you for what's ahead by reminding you, if you love him, you keep his commands. Meaning, if you love Jesus, if you are able to say from your heart, Jesus is Lord, you love Jesus. Right? You can't get there on your own. Somebody else brings you that truth and informs, impresses that truth on your heart. But if you can say Jesus is Lord, or that Jesus suffered, died, and rose for me, for you, you love Jesus. And just like when you love someone, you'll do things that show them love. If we love Jesus, we'll already be doing what he commands. And so, for Mother's Day, some of you may have already done the prep, or maybe that's what your time after church is for. But if you love your mom, you want to do things to show her that, to display that to her, to learn what matters to her. You pay attention, right? And so maybe it's finding those details that what would make today special for her. Maybe it's there's a list you keep, or it's a conversation you have, so everybody's expectations are fair and can be fully realized. I don't know, maybe you learn those expectations are pretty lofty, but you can do something that gets pretty close. The point is that love and keeping aren't separate things. Jesus says, the love I give you will show up in how you live. The love that God has given you to articulate that I love Jesus, or that I believe in Jesus, or that Jesus is Lord, or that Jesus did suffer, die, and rise for me. That's love. That is the love of God that he has placed within you to be able to articulate, that. But keeping also requires knowledge. And knowing this requires something beyond ourselves. And that takes us to what love knows. In verses 17 and 20. So love knows. Read this along with me if you will. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And then verse 20. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, right? In that day. What is that day? One, we know for sure, is Pentecost. It's coming up. I hope you can join us for it. We'll be in it here in a couple Sundays. But it's the day when the Spirit who was with them in that room would be in them in a very particular way that God brought about. And for you, that day is the day you were baptized. Some of you have been baptized. Some of you may be waiting for that day. Some of you have little ones on the way that will be baptized, God willing, in a few weeks. But that's when the Spirit comes to you and in you. The Spirit keeps coming to you in that word and water, that promise and power of baptism that flows with you day in and day out. That word and that Spirit come to you today, right here, right now, giving you a fresh experience with God's word and God's Spirit, delivering you that power in a particular way today. And that's that same Spirit that the disciples finally understood what Jesus meant, that the Father is in Jesus, and that you are in Jesus, and that Jesus is in you. When you try to trace that, you can kind of get turned around, maybe. It's a little hard to understand. But with the Spirit, you believe. Even when it's hard to understand, you believe. And the question is, from all that, while we don't have time to fully unpack all of those metaphysics today, the question is, do you believe? Do you believe the words Jesus spoke to his disciples in that upper room? Do you believe that those words are for them and have application for you today? Right now, there are some things that are unknowable. Relationships that aren't the way you want them to be. Pain that doesn't have an explanation or a solution just yet. And love knows. Jesus knows. Even when you or all the experts in the world don't know, Jesus knows. Love knows. God reveals things in the right time through the Spirit He promised. Love keeps. Love knows. And love does not leave you empty. That takes us to our last point. In verse 21. Read this with me. It should be Phil's, so that's my bad. Thank you. The verse is still correct. Read along with me. Whoever has my commandment and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Jesus is making himself known in that room to those disciples. Jesus is making himself known in this room to you right here, right now. Not just a concept, not just an abstract, but Jesus is giving you the very word of God that is living and active and accomplishes in you, in each of you, everything for which he sends it. It also shows up in our time together today when we sing together, when we pray together, we grieve together, we comfort one another, we learn how to praise and how to rejoice together. This is what God's word accomplishes in you. That's love filling you up, charging your voice, giving you a conviction to sing from your heart, giving you power from outside of yourself to articulate the truths of God in the family he's brought together today. And because Christ's obedience is what makes you right with God, you are kept. Even in the moments where your keeping falls short. These are the receipts, right? The love that keeps, love that knows, love that fills. This is what builds and generates hope that delivers you and your soul into the hands of God at the end of time. Right? They show up in word and water and baptism and word in the Spirit in our hearing and word and the bread and wine with the body and blood that we'll experience in a moment. You have hope because you belong to the one who is more than enough for the disciples in that room in which we read, and more than enough for you and me in this room. Even when you're doing the best you can, and it's not enough, you have hope in the one who is always more than enough. This reminds me of my mom. She's not perfect. Our relationship isn't perfect, but I was recalling on my drive down today, just kind of getting ready for this sermon. Early on in my life, God put a song in her heart and on her lips. She was always singing over us. Now, I don't remember this from when I was a baby, but I have a younger brother. It's the benefit of being an older brother. You kind of see how your parents probably parented you a bit as they're raising up your kid brother, and just the songs they would sing over him, the songs they would sing over him, especially to put him to sleep. It was beautiful. It's the song, these songs that God put in her heart. She also had a heart for the mission of God, for the gospel, for connecting disconnected people to it. And through her, Jesus taught me how to love. And she's not enough, right? I'm not enough. But also in her and through her, God taught me that he is always more than enough for both of us. And that, even when my relationship with my mom is at its worst, that gives me hope. Hope for her, and I hope for our family in this life, and hope that this life is not all that there is. So for now, we live by hope. a hope that points you to love, a love that keeps, a love that knows, a love that fills you in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the one, the author of love and hope and faith. You bring all of that to bear in our heart, in our ears, our souls today. Lord, your spirit is living and active. Your word is living and active. You don't give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love. A love that reconciles. Love that builds up. So Lord, in our fellowship with each other today, build us up. Cast out all of our sin. Draw us together in grace, in love, for the hope that endures all things. Lord, lead us forward in this. In your name, amen.